Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And with Popovich stepping down as Spurs head coach, that immediately makes Mike Tomlin the longest tenured head coach in any of the four North American major professional sports. He has been on the job since 2007. This will be, what, season number 19 for Mike Tomlin as Steelers head coach. And so he finally gets to supplant Pop. He stands alone on the top of Coach Mountain. And I think that makes it, Donnie, a nice time, an opportune time to take stock of where we're at with Mike. And I don't just blindly throw that out there and say, well, what do you guys think about him at 412-928-9370, which is, by the way, also the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Although that is ultimately what I want to get into with you guys, and we have a very nice thing to give away for the best and most interesting caller on the matter. More on that in a minute. I think we're at an interesting point with Mike. We randomly had a caller earlier in the show bring up Tomlin and make a call that was supposed to be about Mike Sullivan become more about Mike Tomlin, and he said this is a huge year for Mike. I actually happen to agree with him on that. I think that there are a couple reasons why this year stands as different from some of the recent ones for Mike Tomlin. He does not have a quarterback, so in the most fundamental way, it's really no different than it was for him really since, 2018? So I think there's two versions of Ben. The guy up until his elbow snapped in half in week two in 2019, and the guy before that, the guy after that. There's what? I guess it would be BEW before elbow, whoosh, and then AEW, just to make a wrestling reference, Donnie, after elbow, whoosh. Since that time, since that injury, really, the version of Ben he got was a shadow of himself. I would like to think Ben would probably admit that deep down, although if it was me saying it, he wouldn't. And then he's gotten Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky, Mason Rudolph, Duck Hodges, Mason Rudolph twice, and only the second and very brief version of Mason Rudolph gave you what you would call high-end quarterback play on any kind of steady basis. Russell Wilson never really did. Justin Fields never really did. So he doesn't have a quarterback, which means it's not truly make or break because you can't say he has the most important part handled, but he's part of that. And now that he's the longest tenured head coach in North American pro sports, it is time to take stock of him. And one thing, Donnie, that I have noticed, I don't know if Pony goes along with this as much. Maybe you're going to be a more receptive audience to it. I do get the sense, if I was going to say anything that has surprised me about him in any kind of a positive way, because we know that most every conversation about him turns negative in one form or fashion, and it's based on frustration. It's understandably and justifiably based on their lack of postseason success. Haven't won a playoff game in almost a decade now. I am getting the sense, though, 1 week essentially after their draft concluded, the third draft of the Khan, Tomlin, Weidel triumvirate, one in which most people think Tomlin carries the hammer and tells everybody what he wants to do. I actually do think that the noteworthy development that's happened over the last 3 years is that Mike, at least when it comes to their drafts, has not, at least in practice or in terms of how the drafts have played out, been the boogeyman demanding and pounding the table for his guys to be picked when he wants them to be picked. Some would argue, and most would argue, that what I'm about to say would be a good thing if it hadn't happened. If Broderick Jones, or if Mike Tomlin got his way, I don't think Jones would have been their pick. They'd have taken Porter at 17. They'd have stayed put. Other people in the room convinced him not to do that. Post-Kenny Pickett goof, they didn't reach for Shedeur Sanders this year. Everyone connected Mike to that. It wasn't even close. It was never. It seems like it wasn't even seriously considered. I thought Sanders was QB2. I didn't think he was a first-round pick. Everyone wanted to connect dots that Tomlin was desperate, hot to trot to get a quarterback, that he was going to take Shedeur come hell or high water. That never even sniffed happening. And then they took a bunch. They took linemen. They fortified. They beefed up. It doesn't feel like. I know Jones is not right now a good pick. They catered to Dan Moore, which is stupid, which also has to do with Tomlin because he's running the on-field product. But I guess in balance, Donnie, if I'm looking for anything that's changed now almost 19 full years into his tenure, it doesn't feel like Mike is deserving, at least in the moment, of the boogeyman in the draft logo, where just basically anything bad in the organization is Mike's fault. He's a tyrant and a bully, and everything good happens almost by miracle behind his back. Like there's a team of people fixing his mistakes, and that's when the good things happen. He does seem to be working more like a part, admittedly, an influential part of a more team concept as far as trying to build these guys. And if you were going to ask me what I actually like about the direction of the Steelers right now, Don, it would definitely be that they seem to have a plan in the draft. Whether they can execute it on the field with the players they get is to be determined. But under this new regime, I feel like they have at least gotten back to some sort of cohesive idea of what they want to be from an identity standpoint, and they've taken players to try and get to that point.
Yeah, I mean, this year it was more so like they really wanted to get the character guys, and I know that we've kind of joked about that stuff in the past with a player like Chase Claypool, but they drafted like three or four team captains, I think it was, last weekend, and I think three of those guys came out of day three. Whereas the first two drafts under Conn and Weidel, at least, it was more of a focus on that like RAS score, like that raw athletic score,
yeah,
where they wanted to get guys that were, you know, near perfect in pretty much every selection. But I mean, it's absolutely looking like there is way more of a team effort when it comes to draft night and draft weekend, instead of just Mike Tomlin rolling with iron fist, unless they have us all fooled. But I feel like we can get the gist enough to know that it's been a collab effort from those guys, or else we would have examples of
Porter would be would have been their first round pick
getting taken,
yeah.
Or maybe they do make the decision last week to go with Sanders. Although I don't think, given what ended up happening with him, I don't think Tomlin had any interest whatsoever.
Well, yeah,
I started to wonder on Saturday that the reason why Tomlin spoke so highly of him was just a favor to Dion. Like, hey man, I'll gas up your kid, but we're not going to take him.
I mean, it could have been that. He might on some level have interviewed with the kid and thought like he's not for us, but like I don't think he's a bad kid or he's a bad person, and I'm going to say a few nice things about him, but I think Mike likes to play into that idea that he likes every shiny toy in the window, and it's pretty obvious that he's a little more sober-minded about this process. Where I would say, so I think that's a positive. I'm probably on an island there. I'm sure when I toss this out to the callers and turn them loose here, I'm going to get ripped for being naive, which is fine. I'm choosing to be optimistic. Whereas that leaves me hoping like he's an old dog who's learning some new tricks, or a tiger who's changing his stripes a little bit, or he can play nice with others. The on-field stuff still gives me enormous amounts of pause. The defense got run over. It's still his defense. Arthur Smith might have had, it's hard to say how much say-so he did have. It's pretty obvious that Mike does not have a comfort level still at the quarterback position. Maybe he's going to give Aaron Rodgers more deference because Rodgers is still a more accomplished player than Wilson whenever Rodgers eventually does get here, since we all think that's going to happen. I think the final evolution here where I would say, wow, in his early 50s, so long tenured on the job, Mike is finally catching up with the times, is if they draft a quarterback next year and he says, I understand he's going to take some lumps. I understand I've got to let him play. I've got to actually surround him with an environment that like helps him develop. I'll think that he's really like turned an odd corner in this like third act of his career. You know, if you split it into like sort of 6-year increments, how it would look, I think it would be a kind of a certain, he would have turned a corner a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, if he's able to turn things on its ear when it comes to how the quarterback position is viewed here and how the offense can evolve here, then I will fully give him credit for being able to do that. It's just there are plenty of reasons and plenty of examples now since late stage Ben and even post Ben, like why we can't trust that and why we just don't think this offense will ever turn into something special, because it just seems like every single season there are stories of the shackles that he puts on the guy playing QB. No matter how tenured the guy is. We hear the stories about Wilson last year. The guy's been in the league for over 10 years.
Like he might be validated in one sense that like the NFL's going back to big boy ball and like running it a little bit more and beefing up. None of that matters. Like the Eagles do it better than anyone, and I'm giving them credit because they're starting to build a team that's trying to become like the Eagles are built, and I think he's not getting in the way of that. I can't let him off the hook, though. If he doesn't coach them a little more aggressively, none of that's actually going to matter. Like you can only, the Eagles are the Eagles because they still take chances. They have this great roster, and their head coach, even though I kind of make fun of him at times, lets them do their thing. And that's where Mike, I think, still gets failing grades from me. Just the hands are way too tight on the steering wheel with everything they do.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now, and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.